spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, The Emissary, was written by David Davidson. Menashe ben Israel was his name, rabbi and printer in the city of Amsterdam 3 centuries ago. He had no greater desire for himself than to preach good sermons, print good books. But slowly, without his seeking, he was called to a far larger destiny. To be an emissary of understanding between people, accomplishing in this service a mission of which he could never have dreamed. It was nothing, certainly, that could have entered the thoughts of the small boy who, in the year 1610, sailed uneasily into Holland with his crippled, suffering father.
Father?
Yeah?
That man coming across the deck, that man in uniform.
Have no fear, Menashe. They won't hurt us.
But, Father...
These Hollanders are a different sort of people.
Any other passengers here who are applying for permanent residence? You, sir, on the bench.
Yes, sir. My family and I.
Your name, please?
Joseph Ben Israel.
Am I right to think this is a Hebrew name?
Yes, sir.
Point of origin?
Portugal.
What possessions do you bring?
My son here, my wife and daughter, who are still resting in the cabin.
Nothing more?
Everything else has been taken from me, including the use of my legs. Forgive me for not being able to rise from the bench.
Oh.
Broken on the rack for the crime of being a Jew.
Oh.
Do you grant us entry to Holland? Will you let us land?
There are so many of you come to our shores. Every month, another 100 families.
I hope your generosity has not been strained.
We Netherlanders are not a nation of bigots. Turn you back. How could I call myself a Christian and do that?
The Lord's blessing on you.
Wait here. I will find a man to help you down.
Father!
You see, Menashe, there's a new wind blowing in the world. One that freshens men's souls as it goes. Someday it will blow through other lands as through this. Watch for it, Menashe.
Yes, Father.
And sail with it wherever it goes.
It was only a few years later that in Amsterdam, the council of the synagogue Neve Shalom, abode of peace, met to decide a perplexing problem.
Brothers! Brothers, it is many months now that we have been seeking a successor for our late sainted rabbi. We have argued back and forth. Therefore, I have taken the liberty of, Menashe ben Israel.
Yes, Dr. Bueno?
Will you come forward and describe for us the qualities which you believe our rabbi should possess?
Well, surely there are wiser heads here. You ask me, a boy of 18?
You can speak at least for the younger heads. I, for one, would like to know what they think.
Well, your rabbi must certainly be a man of Hebrew learning, eloquent of speech.
On that we're all agreed.
But he must stand high also outside the synagogue, in the world beyond. He is the Jew by whom are judged all Jews.
Well taken, Menashe.
He must be learned in our ways. But he must also be a man of the world, able to speak philosophy with the philosophers, poetry with the poets.
A difficult task, Menashe.
The task of any ambassador. For that is what a rabbi is, an ambassador of God to man, of the synagogue to the larger world outside. He must be sensible always of the worth of his own cause without slighting another's. And last, though the honors of his office be great, his thoughts must not be upon the honors, but the terrible duties, both before his brother man and before God.
You have stated it well, Menashe, and confirmed us in the choice we've already made.
What choice have you made?
You, Menashe.
I?
Will you be our rabbi?
A boy of 18?
You?
But you are rushing me straight from the cradle to the pulpit.
We have not found a better candidate of any age.
I am honored more than I can say. But I had already made other plans for my future.
What, Menashe? Commerce or medicine?
A printer. It was my hope to be the first in the Netherlands to print books in Hebrew, and also to write books in other tongues for the many Christian scholars who have lately become interested in our Hebrew learning.
Mm-hmm. To speak to the Christian, as it were, while we are asking you to preach to the Jew.
As it were.
Well, Menashe, why not do both?
God willing, gentlemen, I will try. May the Lord turn his countenance on thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Barbanel, Rachel.
Good morning, dear Rabbi.
Rachel, always laughing at me. The terrible little imp from next door.
This morning, Menashe, I suddenly stopped laughing. All the while you were preaching, you kept growing. Taller and taller. Suddenly, you were a man.
And a man, Rachel, should take himself a wife.
And what is stopping the man from taking himself a wife?
Rachel, you know how it stands in both your house and mine. In both, the parents dead. Both left with a daughter who serves as housekeeper to the son.
And why does that interfere?
Well, you can see. It would leave my sister unprovided for. And it would take your brother's housekeeper from him.
Oh, poor Menashe. Always so terribly concerned with right and wrong.
Oh, Rachel, this is serious.
Oh, yes, it would be, except that... Well, this morning, my brother sighed to me that it was exactly such a problem that keeps him from marrying.
Yes?
Your sister.
No. So there is no problem.
None at all, Menashe.
Rachel. Here, Rachel. The very first proof is for you. Yes, it's my printer's mark. The imprint of my press.
God's blessing on it. Oh, Menashe, it's so beautifully drawn.
You think so?
There's this figure here of a pilgrim with his staff and bundle. Oh, but these Latin words beneath?
Peregrinando quaerimus. By our wanderings, we seek.
Oh, yes, that is you, Menashe. Always searching, seeking, wanting to know. But who did the drawing, Menashe?
Oh, a strange young man I found in the street. He was standing there and sketching all who came by, beggars, old women. His name is Rembrandt.
Rembrandt?
Mm, I believe he has very great talent.
Oh, somebody at the door. Look, Menashe, a great gentleman with a fine plumed hat. Who is he?
I don't believe he's come here before.
Oh, excuse me, Menashe, I'm not dressed for great gentlemen.
Yes, yes, I am coming. Oh, good morning. Won't you come in?
Thank you. You are the Rabbi Menashe?
That is my name.
Shalom.
And peace unto you. So you are acquainted with our Hebrew language?
Only tolerably. I hope with the help of some of your books to improve that acquaintanceship.
May I ask with whom I have the pleasure of speaking?
Grotius, they call me.
Dr. Grotius?
Yes.
Holland's great judge and philosopher of law?
Oh, don't be taken in by rumor.
I have read every one of your works, Dr. Grotius. They are the greatest of their kind.
I've read all yours, Rabbi, and spoken of them with such pleasure that a certain lady snatched them from me for her own library.
A lady who is a scholar of our Hebrew doctrines?
Christina is her name. Not a bad scholar, as her kind goes. Christina, Queen of Sweden.
Christina.
She charges me to bring you her greetings.
I am honored.
And further, while we're on the subject of queens...
A very new subject for me, I must confess.
You know, perhaps, that Henrietta Maria of England reached Amsterdam today to give her daughter in marriage to our Prince of Orange?
Yes, the whole city has been filled with music.
Yes, well, in any case, she's remarked that Jews, having not dwelt in England for almost 400 years, are a subject of great curiosity to her.
Dr. Grotius, you may assure Her Majesty that Jews, like other men, have two legs and walk upon them.
I will. Meanwhile, she's expressed the wish while she's in Amsterdam to visit a synagogue. May it be yours, Rabbi?
Well, certainly, Dr. Grotius. Though I fear that I can offer her nothing as bizarre as she might expect. Only the sight of men and women in prayer before God.
I think, Rabbi Menashe, that nobody could offer better.
Your Majesty, we are at the end of the service.
It was most inspiring. Our deepest thanks to you, Rabbi.
We are honored, Your Majesty.
So these are the Jews. We confess we had expected to find something more like dancing dervishes.
Your Majesty, may I offer a wager?
Yes, Rabbi Menashe?
That Your Majesty has often seen Jews before, though without knowing it.
Impossible.
In your city of London alone, there are living 100 families of Jews.
In London?
Hmm. But they are forced, under the law of your land, to pretend to be Spaniards and Portuguese ever since the Edict of Banishment 4 centuries ago.
Strange.
Yes, very strange, Your Majesty, that such an edict should continue to exist in a land so liberal as yours, the land of Magna Carta and of Parliament.
Go on.
If little Holland can open its door to the wanderer, should not great England...
Rabbi, how boldly you speak.
If I do, Your Majesty, be offended at me. But I pray you not at my cause.
Your cause, Rabbi Menashe?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Is not uninteresting. Perhaps I shall even speak of it one day to my husband, the king.
Soon after was overthrown, and Oliver Cromwell came to power. Menashe's cause seemed lost. Meanwhile, he busied himself writing a new book, setting forth all that was known of the wanderings of his people.
Dr. Grotius, you come for books again?
No, for something more this time, Menashe. It happened today that I met with the English mission which has come here to Amsterdam to discuss a trade treaty. Their secretary, Mr. John Thurlow, asked if you could be prevailed to call upon him.
On what matter, Dr. Grotius?
He didn't say. But in your place, Menashe, I should...
Yes, I am going. At once.
I think you know full well, Rabbi Menashe, what a current of liberty has always run through our English history.
Yes, Mr. Thurlow.
Today, under the Commonwealth, it is at the fullest tide. And there are those in the Puritan party who believe it time to move openly for the toleration of every religious faith.
And the Jewish faith?
Every faith.
The blessing of the Lord upon you.
Now then, as a practical matter, we should like a representative of the Jews to go at once to London with a petition for the readmission of his people. Will you, Rabbi Menashe, be that representative?
I.
Yes. As that Jew best known to us in England through his writings, you have been delegated. You alone.
Yes, by a few kind souls, perhaps, with no authorities.
No, Rabbi. It is Cromwell himself who sends for you.
Cromwell?
The Lord Protector of the Commonwealth, the highest personage in the land. Will you come, Menashe?
God willing, Mr. Thurlow. I will come.
And so, in 1655, on the eve of the Jewish New Year, Menashe ben Israel reached London, there to lodge in the home of a secretly professing Jew, Antonio Robles.
Brethren, if we are now all assembled, I will start the New Year's service.
Rabbi Menashe, gentlemen, one thing I beg you.
Yes, Robles?
Pray softly, pray quietly, so that our voices will not carry to the street.
I am afraid, Robles, it will not be possible to keep down our voices. I have brought with me a shofar.
A ram's horn? It has not been sounded in England for 395 years. I beg you...
Gentlemen, It was not as a thief I entered England, but as the emissary of Israel. Service will proceed. And now, brothers.
Rabbi, I still fear.
Open! Open in the name of the Lord.
Rabbi, I warned you.
Open at once. Open in the name of Cromwell.
Now calm yourselves, gentlemen. The responsibility is entirely mine. Fellow, it is you.
At prayer, are you? Caught in the act?
If you wish to put it that way.
I know only that the Lord Protector has sent me to...
Yes?
To ask, will you be kind enough to dine with him tomorrow?
I will be happy to.
Rabbi Menashe ben Israel?
Yes, your lordship.
I observe that you are avoiding all the meats on the table.
Well, perhaps our dietary laws seem strange to you.
Do not fear. Everything on this table is kosher, you call it?
Yes, kosher. But how does your lordship know...
The dinner was prepared with the advice of one of the oldest Jewish families in London, Rabbi.
So your government knows that Jews dwell here?
Officially, Rabbi, my government knows nothing. It connives not to know.
Connives?
I see that the word distresses you. Then let me explain that much that is good in this land has come about not directly, not by action, but by seeming failure to act. By negligence.
Negligence?
Purposeful negligence. Instead of acting, we merely let things happen. When we British choose, Rabbi, we connive not to see a bonfire under our very noses. I observe you still frown, Rabbi.
Its method, your lordship, is so strange to me.
Have no fears. But set to at once to draw up an official petition to the Council of State beseeching the readmission of the Jews.
I have already started, your lordship.
I warn you, Rabbi, you will see many delays, many retreats, before your cause is won.
I am happy to see your lordship's heart so set on the cause of tolerance.
For this reason, among many, Rabbi, that bigotry is a double evil. It hurts its victim, but it also hurts those who practice it. Bigotry turns them into beasts instead of men made in the image of God. I know that without it, England will be a happier land. Gentlemen of the council, it is months since I first placed this matter before you. One question you have fully decided, that no law forbids the Jews' return.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On the second question, the terms of their readmission, you offer 100 different councils, a babel of discordances, without sense or order. I see now that no help is to be expected of you. Meanwhile, war has broken out with Spain, and I am compelled to turn to other matters. You are dismissed.
Months later, Menashe received a visitor in his lodging.
Mr. Thurlow, tell me, is there any further news?
Still no action. You know, Menashe, I have begun to think that if your people would only consent to come in without raising this question of terms...
How can we, Mr. Thurlow? We must know that we come as equals, not as slaves.
All well and good, Menashe. But for the moment, there is a far more pressing problem for your brothers here in England.
I don't understand.
Like your own host, Robles, they dwell here in the guise of Spaniards, do they not?
Yes, they do.
Well, I'm afraid, Menashe, now that England is at war with Spain, that steps are being taken to deprive them of all their property on the grounds that they are enemy subjects.
Enemy subjects? Some of their families have dwelt here for centuries. That of Robles, for instance.
But if he calls himself a Spaniard...
Then I shall advise him finally to declare himself a Jew, boldly, openly, no matter at what cost.
Menashe.
Yes, Mr. Thurlow?
Have him do that, Menashe. At once.
Mr. Thurlow, do you know why?
Yes.
I think I smell here another of those famous connivances.
Menashe, Rabbi Menashe.
Robles, why so breathless?
I have just come from the council where they ruled on my petition for the return of my property.
Tell me, what did they decide?
That all of my property is to be returned to me.
Excellent. But what did they say to your declaration of yourself as a Jew?
They said nothing.
Nothing? Did they not say whether you may henceforth dwell here or not dwell here?
They said nothing.
Yes, just as Cromwell described it. Purposeful negligence. But is it enough? Robles, may I have the use of your carriage at once?
Yes, speak up, Rabbi.
Believe me, your lordship, I am grateful for all you have done for my people. But still, after a whole year, there is only this vague decision in the matter of Robles. Not one guarantee in writing.
And what guarantees do you seek?
Exactly those asked in the petition. The right to worship. The right to a burial ground. To engage in all the trades. To hold land.
Entirely right and proper, every one of them.
Well, then, your lordship...
Well, then, Rabbi, my advice is to go ahead and act.
Yes?
Exactly as if the petition had been granted.
More of that benevolent connivance, your lordship means. What my people need to be safe is a law definitely stated.
Rabbi, you are a man of great learning, great goodness and honor. But one thing has been left out of you.
If your lordship means to say...
A capacity for indirection, negligence, compromise. It is good that we have a few such as you in this world. You serve as a yardstick of honor for all the rest of us. But you have already won a great victory for your people, and you have helped England rid herself of the stain on her honor. Rabbi, the gate is open. Don't you see that?
But it was something that Menashe could not see. Not until much later, when he was lying in his last illness.
Menashe.
Yes, Raphael?
There is a visitor. You feel strong enough to see him. It's Dr. Grotius.
Raphael, don't make him wait another moment.
Dr. Grotius.
Good evening, Menashe. Still abed?
Oh, forgive me for lacking the strength to rise.
I know in what cause your strength was spent, Menashe.
But now everything is overturned again. Cromwell dead and the king again on the throne.
That's what I've come to speak of, Menashe. Only yesterday in London, the new king, Charles II, held his first council of state. And the report, which I've just heard...
I can guess, Grotius.
He ordered, struck from the book, every single law issued in Cromwell's name.
And what now of the fate of my brothers in England? Again a new wind, a stormy one.
Yes, there were certain bigots who immediately petitioned King Charles to annul the readmission of the Jews.
Yes, tell me the worst, Grotius.
But His Majesty declared that since no law had ever been promulgated for the admission of the Jews, there was no law to annul.
What?
From now on, your brothers live safe in England forever.
Menashe.
Yes, Rachel, I heard.
So you did not fail, Menashe.
Fail? Oh, no, Menashe. No emissary ever carried out his mission more gloriously than you. The emissary of understanding between people.
Menashe.
God be praised. God, who is the strength of all men.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi David Graubart, presiding rabbi of the Beth Din Congregation of Chicago, Illinois. Rabbi Graubart.
An interpretation of history is an expression of the present. That which Thomas Mann once called the presentness of history. What took place in the middle of the 17th century has left a lasting impress upon our time. At the same time that Jews were admitted again into England, they came for the first time to the New World, to these shores. Thus, they came to Britain in 1655, and the first band of Jews had come to America in 1654. The Jewish people have since that time identified themselves with the cultures of the two great English-speaking peoples and have enriched them considerably. The contribution which the Jewish people made to the Anglo-Saxon culture has become fabric and texture of that portion of Western civilization. Thus, Rabbi Menasseh ben Israel was in his day an emissary of understanding between people. The culture of the English-speaking peoples has ever been rooted in Hebraic ideals, its major documents having derived their inspiration from Jewish sources. It valiantly opposed bigotry, xenophobia, and tyranny. It believed with Lord Cromwell that bigotry is a double evil. It hurts its victim, but it also hurts those who practice it. It makes men beasts instead of men made in God's image. In our day, when we find ourselves under the constellation of a conflict between peoples, yea, between ideologies, we are in sore need of emissaries of peoples who would bring nearer to one another those nations which are vitally concerned with the preservation of the deathless ideals of democracy, which have ever been the goal of the free peoples of the world.
Thank you, Rabbi Grabart. Our eternal light drama today, The Emissary, was written by David Davidson. Leon Janney was featured as Rabbi Menashe, Bryna Rayburn as Rachel, and Barry Kroger as Dr. Grotius. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.